at Ocean's Door, coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Of The Right Stuff. I am your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the show. We have a special time today on Thursday today, only because I had something come up yesterday, and Jackie, my guest co-host and contributor today, was so kind enough to let me reschedule for today, and I'm really excited to showcase Jackie DeLean's first debut novel, At Ocean's Door. It's a coming-of-age story about a boy who meets a girl and how she changes his life and how he changes her life. It's all coming together at the Ocean's Door. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. I definitely want to thank you all for your support of my new release, A Groom for Altar. The response has been absolutely phenomenal. It's been on a best-selling list for a while now. That's never happened before, and I have you to thank for it. If you haven't had an opportunity to pick up a copy of the book, make sure you go on Amazon.com, where it is exclusively, and let me know what you think about it by, if you want to, leaving a review. We want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. To find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. Radio app is live. I've been talking about that for months now, and it is live. If you want an app that is solely dedicated to highlighting Christian fiction and nonfiction, definitely go to radioapp.com or download it on your mobile device at the Google Play Store and find out how you can upload your catalog into Radio app. We want to thank our Patreon team for their support as well. There's going to be some changes coming up, and I'm going to be giving more people an opportunity to be a part of this ministry that we have, so stay tuned right there. If you like anything that you hear in this episode, why don't you go online and leave us a review? I recently found out that you can do that sort of thing, so if you like this show, go ahead, go to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or wherever it is that you can leave a review, and leave a review. Let people know about this show, and feel free to share it with any of your followers on your social media. I'll be glad to have more people respond to it. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to this special edition of The Right Stuff. Again, I'm your queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to be showcasing this particular author's book because she is responsible for the lovely music that we have for the show and for the Parker J. Cole show and for this show here. She's also a good friend of mine, as well as the wife of horror and thriller novelist Jess Hannah. So we're going to be talking to Jackie DeLean today, and this is her first book. I'm really excited to showcase it to everyone. What I really loved about this book is the way Jackie tells a story. It is so beautiful, wonderful, and she just uses some amazing cast of characters to go along and just really ump the story as you keep reading it through. So it's not available right now. It will be available February 2nd, 2021. So just stay tuned right there. But if you want to know more about how you can get your copy, Jackie is going to give you an opportunity later on in the broadcast to follow her online and then get notices about when you can receive your copy of At Ocean Door. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Jackie Jalene. Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Parker. Thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate you being able to switch like you did yesterday to come to today. But what's really exciting is that I get a chance to read your book, and I really enjoyed it. And I know for our listeners and guests out there that's listening, you are going to love At Ocean's Door. I feel so thankful because I got it before everyone else did. So that makes me feel like I'm in the know. I'm in the special clubhouse there. So again, Jackie, thanks for being with me today. You know, how did you feel about listening to your music as I played it? Because that's all you. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, well, of course, I take note of that. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this music. No, but it was kind of cool because I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm a big supporter of what you do and everything. So to have any part of it is really an honor, I have to say.
You must have been like, I know that tune. That's real familiar.
Very familiar, yes. It
and
kind of jams,
so cool.
Though, right?
Okay, of course it does, and that's why you made it for me. It was funny because for our listeners out there, I told Jackie I wanted this, I wanted that, but I couldn't tell her what I wanted because why would I be able to do that and help her? And I just gave her like the tidbit of what I liked, and she came together with several pieces of music that we chose from. Phenomenal. So there's another aspect to Jackie that you may want to know about a little bit later on in our show. So, Jackie, here's the thing. I've had your husband on a few times. Now it's your turn. And I'm so excited because you guys are both really good writers. And you write in two different genres that's completely disparate from each other. And I was thinking to myself, I can't believe it. I get to have both of them on this show. So how does it feel to finally have your book out there? Because this is your first book, debut novel, everything else. How does that feel?
I'm really just kind of blown away by the process. I mean, I've helped other people, like, you know, publish books, and I've been able to do that for other people and experience the joy that they have in publishing a first book or whatever, or a new book that they're doing that they're really excited about. But it's kind of fun to be on the other side of that, where this time it's my book. But at the same time, it's strange, you know, to have people, like, to know that people are going to read what you write and, like, kind of scrutinize it. So it's a little nerve-wracking as well. But mostly I'm just very excited about it.
There is a sense of vulnerability when you let the world in on the baby you've been crafting for all this time. I remember when you first started talking about this book to me, you were saying how, oh, I'm working on it. I got to get this together. I got to get this right. And I just have to share this, Jackie. One thing that Jackie did when she sent me the ARC, she said, wait, don't read it yet. I said, okay, no big deal. She said, because I have to make sure this particular character's name is correct. I said, that's fine. And she said, I know it's weird, but I have to make sure it's correct. And I had to tell her, I totally understand. That makes perfect sense. That you have the name of the character in the way it's supposed to be. We put so much effort into our books that every tiny detail has to be perfect for us to feel as if this is the best book that we've created. I know for myself, and Jackie, you've been on those conversations when I go into our Write Stuff Authors group on Facebook, how I will get stuck with something really simple and I can't move. And I'll be stuck for 2 days over some very small, non-essential bit of the manuscript, but it's essential for me. And I had to share that because I can understand how some of our aspiring authors may feel the same way. Like, I have to make sure this is the right name. I have to make sure this house looks like this. And those are good things. That means you're taking much emphasis on making sure that book reflects your vision to the best way, in the best way possible. So I had to let you know, Jackie, I totally understand that. And I wanted to share that with our listeners because we're always trying to encourage aspiring authors to write. And these are some of the struggles that an author may face. And when we share that and be transparent about the journey, we have an opportunity to help build each other up. So I had to tell them that, Jackie. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell us about yourself in your own words.
Well, thank you for that, by the way, that you were very understanding. I figured if anybody would understand, it would be you because we are in groups together, and I know how much you pour over your own books. Right. So I was very thankful because, you know, I didn't want to come off unprofessional in any way, but it was something that I really had to, you know, it's like now, it was like a now or never thing. I have to figure it out now. So I really appreciate that you were so patient and understanding and encouraging through that. But as for me, I've always been a person who's enjoyed different creative outlets, and mostly I've focused on music a lot, but I've been writing my whole life. This is not the first time I've written, even though it's the first time I've ever completed a book. I have written my whole life. I used to write stories. I used to write children's books, you know, just for, like, classes and contests and stuff, and I've always enjoyed, I do songwriting, and I like to write poetry, and I write blogs. So it was something I've always enjoyed, and whenever I would get support in my writing, I always felt encouraged that maybe one day I would get a chance to write a book, you know, when the Lord allowed. Like, I was waiting for God's timing in my life. I don't know why, but I always kind of felt like it would be later rather than earlier. So most of my 20s and even most of my 30s was focused more on music or ministry, worship ministry. And but it was just like kind of like a couple things happened that kind of like let me know that God was saying, giving me the green light, that this was the time. And then, of course, the big thing was that he actually gave me a story to tell. Because a lot of times I would always be mesmerized by the creativity, because I am around a lot of writers. It's very intimidating, the writers that I'm around who are amazing, you know. And so it's like, you know, I'm always amazed by how they come up with these very creative storylines, and I sometimes felt like, I don't know if I have that. You know, I'm really good at telling people how to improve their stories, but, like, to start from nothing, you know, I wasn't sure. So when God gave me a story, I just went with it, and that's what became At Ocean's Door.
I even like the title At Ocean's Door because it gives us an idea of what's going on in our main character's life, that the ocean, which has a lot of symbolism, is representing something, and they're at the door. But that becomes more obvious as you read through the story. We'll talk about At Ocean's Door in a moment. So you talked about a little bit about your writing journey, that you always have written, but you, because the Lord sent you down this path at the right place at the right time, he gave you a story to tell, and he allowed that story to come forth out of you. And I have to know, how was it when you wrote the end? What was going through your mind at that moment?
Well, at the end, okay, I kind of got the whole story at once in my mind. Not all the details, of course, but the whole story came to my mind, not the final line, but I had the general outline in my head of what the whole purpose was going to be and what it was going to come to. Of course, that developed further as I went along, and it became richer. In fact, the characters were originally going to be quite a bit younger. They kept aging as I went into the story. That was an interesting aspect. But when I wrote the end, really all I was thinking was, I'm so close to the end, you know, and if you're like me at all, then just finishing a project is a big deal because it takes every bit of concentration. Like, I'm easily led into other, like, interests. Like, I'm like, butterfly, you know, like, I want to go over here and do this and go over there and do that. So I have to force myself. Like, the fear of not finishing motivates me because I know myself. I know how easy it is to put something down. So really, I was just kind of racing toward the end when I got closer to the end on the first draft because I'm like, I need to know that I finished this. So it probably was a little anticlimactic in that regard.
Like, it's done. I did something. I know I have to finish it. And that's a good place to be, Jackie. It's not a bad one. I think, too, that what you said there was probably very helpful to the authors listening, the fact that you know yourself. You know that if I don't finish it, I don't want it hanging around on my, figuratively speaking, on my fingertips, not doing anything. You got to keep shaking it off because it's not done yet. You know, almost like a mousetrap. I don't know if people use mousetraps anymore, but we used to have mice traps. And you put your finger in a mousetrap and it hangs off you. That's the sense of an unfinished project. It's not off you. Yeah, you're shaking your finger like, get this mousetrap off me. You want to be able to have it.
It haunts me. So, it haunts me if I have something unfinished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And I like that you share that with us. At Ocean's Door, it takes place in Maine. Have you ever been to Maine? Is that what caused it or helped create that story? Tell us a little bit about just the background behind the story.
Sure. Yeah, actually, I have been to Maine. My oldest sister used to live in New Hampshire, and so I have visited her several times, been to New England, and she's taken me to the shore. She's taken me to Maine. And I just kind of have, like, at least a sense of that demographic. To be honest, though, the actual book was originally more inspired by a visit to Lake Michigan. I don't really know why I completely changed the demographic from Michigan to Maine, except that I just felt inspired to do so. Something about the rocky coast and everything, I think, just the imagery of that, and also the fisherman aspect, because there's characters in there who do that for a living, and back then that would have been a very, common job for people who lived in Maine. So I guess I've just always been fascinated with the ocean in general. Like, I just love the sea. I love the ocean. I love the Great Lakes. I spend as much time there. I love visiting different beaches, and that was just the one that I landed on.
I was thinking, too, that because we're both in Michigan, for those of you who don't know, me and Jackie are 2 hours away from each other. So one day I'll get a chance to go see her, hang out with Chris at the church, because I have every intention, Jackie, coming to you guys' church one day. And I plan on just like right in the middle, right before altar call or something, going to burst the door open and go, hey, Parker's here, and just totally disrupt the service. I have every intention of doing that. But until
then. Oh, please do. Please do. I would just like to see the look on. Okay, go on.
Chris's face would be, and for those of you, Chris Weeks is her pastor, and he's the one who wrote the book we showcased on the show, 2085, The Rise and Fall of the Sisters. So I'm looking forward to when I can come up there and just fellowship with you guys. It was so crazy. The day we were in quarantine, the day it happened, I was coming to your church. I was on my way. I said, I got a whole weekend. I'm going to drive up to Grand Rapids-ish. I don't want to tell people where you live at exactly, but drive up there, and I was going to surprise you guys, and then we went into lockdown. I was like, no, I have plans. But yeah,
I did not know that. You never told me that.
No, it was going to be a massive surprise. I was going to come. I was getting ready to be around 6 o'clock that morning. I wanted to be there for morning worship, and I was so disappointed. I cannot tell you how disappointed. I had a map up and everything, like, no. But it's okay. We'll get a chance to see each other at fellowship, hopefully, with everything going on and all that good stuff. So here,
most
Jackie,
definitely,
we have
to do that.
We have this situation here in At Ocean's Door where a young man is kind of quarantined in his own right, but it's not because of pandemic. It's not because of some, you know, zombie-like disease. It's his aunt. And his aunt, I had a hard time thinking if she really had his best interest at heart. I really did, because I couldn't understand why she was so clingy to him. But over the course of the story, you begin to understand where that clinginess came from and why she felt the way she did. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Noah and who Noah is at the beginning of this book.
Well, Noah's a young boy. He's 16 when the story starts, and basically he's somebody who lost his mother at a very young age, and his father is away as a fisherman. He's away a lot because it's very painful for him to be at the house where his wife lived and who he was very in love with, who died. And so he leaves his son in the care of his sister, who is Aunt Prissy in the story. And Aunt Prissy, like, is also what they would call an old maid. You know, she never got married or anything like that, and she's very devoted to her brother. And she's a little off. She's a little off, and she takes the promise that she makes to him a little too far because she sees the devastation that it caused her brother and wants to make sure that nothing happens to Noah. So she takes it upon herself to basically make that her, like, life's goal is to keep him completely protected so nothing bad ever happens to him for her brother's sake.
And usually when you lock someone inside, they can't experience life either, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly. So Noah, he ends up you know, getting very comfortable with that because it's all he's ever known. And for that reason, he's not a very ambitious young man, and he hasn't had a lot of experience with relationships outside of his aunt. So he becomes, you know, he's kind of bratty, and he's also very weak and weak physically, weak mentally, and like I said, not really ambitious. But where he does thrive is he discovers a love of painting, and he turns out to be really good at it.
Even when you were describing some of the paintings in the book, they really came alive. And I always have admired people who can paint, because the best you're going to get from me is a straight crooked line. The best you're going to get. And I say straight and crooked because I can't draw a straight line. So I can't do it. But that whole idea of being able to take a vision of the whatever you're looking at and put it onto canvas and make it look lifelike and real, I admire people like that. Is that something that you do, Jackie, that you paint?
Oh, no, I do not. But I will say that I do draw, and I've always been an art, you know, like I've always enjoyed art, and I used to want to go into commercial art, but I never did paint. And writing this book did, I will admit, inspire me to want to possibly pick up a brush and just, you know, see how that goes, because I really do love the ocean. I love the sea. I love the beach, and I think it'd be kind of fun to do what he did. Now, I don't think I'd be as good as his character was, but, you know, you never know.
I was thinking about Bob Ross. Bob Ross will be like, if, you know, Bob Ross says anyone can paint, right? He always says in every single taped episode, anyone can paint, and he does a lot to make sure that people can do that. But I have the feeling that if I attempted to paint, Bob Ross would be like, that's not a happy little accident. That's not what he would say. He'd be like, that's a horrible accident, a big crashy one. But I've always admired people who can do that. And painting is such an expression of the soul. And there are times in the book where Noah is painting, and it reflects his inner turmoil. And that gets me to the point about art itself and how art is the expression of the soul. What are your thoughts about that, Jackie?
Oh, I mean, as a person who's a music lover, I think in some ways I translated my love of music and making music into Noah in the form of painting, because I love art in all different forms, you know, and I appreciate it, and I can appreciate people's talents. But really, a lot of times for the true artist, their work is really a reflection of what they're kind of dealing with inside, and a lot of times it's just an expression of that. So I tried to bring that out in him, that it was an outlet for him, that it was a way for him to express what he was going through in a way that would give him a release, because I think that's really what art is for a lot of people. It's, you know, speaking the truth of who you are into something, and a lot of times it can touch other people, you know, because other people share in that experience.
And we are talking today to Jackie Jalee. She is the debut author of Dora, available soon at Doorway Publishing, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. It's currently in the process of being uploaded, so I can't wait to tell you how you get a chance to get your copy of At Ocean's Door soon later on in the broadcast. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485 and press 1. To be live on air. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your book.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to this special edition of The Right Stuff with the Queen, Parker J. Today, I'm talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Jackie Jolene. She is the author of the debut novel, At Ocean's Door, set to release on February 2nd, 2021. You are definitely going to enjoy this coming-of-age story about a boy who meets a girl who changes his life in just one transformative summer. Can't wait to tell you more about it with my good friend, Jackie. And Jackie, thanks for being with me on the show. It's so cool to have you, like I said earlier in the introduction of the show, because we are neighbors. We're just 2 hours away from each other, give or take. And the fact that it's your debut novel, I get a chance to tell people how I appreciate what you've done for me as far as like creating the new music for our show and then a couple of projects you helped me with. So just really good to be able to return the favor and showcase At Ocean's Door, that people can get their hands on this wonderful story about a boy who meets a girl. Now, let's talk about the girl. Her name is Lily Stevens. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, Lily is a free spirit, and she is a person who just loves life. She just has, you know, like a hunger for life, and she just enjoys the little things in life too. Like, she finds joy in simple pleasures, and when she meets Noah, they're kind of in an opposite situation, and she definitely captivates him because he's never met anybody like her. And so basically they form a friendship, and through that friendship she begins to inspire him to step out of his comfort zone.
What I like, too, is that even though the romantic element in this story builds, he really sees her as his friend. And I think that's so important when it comes to young adult books, is to show that it doesn't always have to be this heated, hot, and heavy element to the relationship. You guys can really just be friends. There's that age-old question, can men and women be friends? And I say yes. I think it's totally possible. And in this story, Noah appreciates at first her friendship because it's different from any other relationship that he has until things change for him later on in the story. Did you purposely put this element of friendship in the story as a teaching point about learning how to be friends with someone before taking it possibly in another direction?
I don't know if I would say that I was purposely trying to teach through it, but I guess I was. It is a reflection of my own values, which is that I find the importance of true friendship and connection to be like of utmost importance, because we don't really know how to do relationships anymore. You know, it's like everything is sort of sexualized, everything is turned into something, you know. But I wanted first and foremost for there to be a real connection, not just a physical attraction alone, you know, but to actually have them build something to where they were enriching each other's lives. And to me, that is the essence of like what true relationship is, and I guess that's just something that is meaningful to me.
I like, too, that you contrast her outgoing spirit with his more enclosed one, but as he begins to know her, she makes him want to explore the world. And I can't help but think that when you have a relationship, that person, whether it's a friendship, a business relationship, or something like that, they make you want to do better. They make you strive for that. I'm not saying they beat you over the head and whip you and go, yeah, yeah. I'm not talking that. I'm talking they really encourage you on your path to success. And I see that happening with Lily because she recognizes that staying in that house is not life. But for her, it's alien to her. Like, wow, you don't want to go? You've never been to the beach that's right outside your house? And he was like, well, no. And she's like, but she asked him the question, like, why? He's like, well, it's bad for my constitution or his health and things of that nature. She, not in a cruel way, but in an insistent way, pushes him to be more, but then she also meets him where he is at. And so their friendship grows because he sees her walking along the beach. She waves at him. She's very friendly. And I like Lily's spirit in the story because whoever she meets, she touches with that effervescent attitude that she has. I have to ask, Jackie, is that based off of anyone you know? There are people in life who have that very charismatic, magnetic pull, but it's not heavy as much as inviting you into their sphere.
You know, I don't think that I was thinking of anybody specifically as much as just traits that I've observed in other people that I've really appreciated. So I think that Lily was sort of a culmination of, like, what I would consider my ideal. You know, somebody who I would think, you know, this is who I would aspire to be. You know what I mean? Like, I love that she always wants to try to, like, see the value in people, and that she doesn't approach them, like you said, to beat them over the head, but she really does want what's best for Noah. She really does care about him and sees his potential, and it's really important to her that she, that he meets that potential, because she can't stand to watch him just wallow in this harmful way of living, you know. But at the same time, she doesn't quite understand exactly what's going on there, but she's trying to do her best because she's a young girl herself and, you know, hasn't really encountered this either.
What's really interesting, too, about Noah's relationship with his family is that they are sparse at best because his father is never there. His aunt is overbearing, but then she'll go off and be by herself for several hours. So he spends a lot of time by himself. And I wanted to touch base on the father real quick, because the father, to me, I almost got the impression, I know why he stayed away from his family is because of losing his wife, but it's almost as if he doesn't want to see his son's face. I don't know if it's because he blamed his son for his wife's death, and he did not want to continue to see the object of the thing that killed his wife. Is there any of that in the story that came to mind? That was some things I was thinking of as I read the story. What were you hoping to share through that particular relationship with Noah and his non-existent father?
Well, no, it wasn't that he blamed his son, because you may have forgotten this because it was at the very beginning, but his wife died of pneumonia a year after he was born. It had nothing to do with childbirth or anything to do with him. She just got sick and died.
You.
Yeah, I didn't know if you. That
you.
Was kind of reason why the health issues were a concern.
I did forget
because
about
she had a
that.
Week.
It was that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
and
that part wasn't it. But
I just read this book today. So.
No, right. Absolutely. And these details I don't expect everybody to absorb, you know. But the point that I really did want to drive home about the father was the importance of the relationship that he was missing with his dad and how much he suffered for that and how important it was, but also the father's – it became at first it was always kind of selfish on the father's part, you know, why he did what he did, because it was self-preservation. But I also wanted to just show, like a lot of people go through this where they want that relationship with their parent, but they're just not available to them. But yes, that was very intentional as far as leaving him without a father figure to help guide him into being a man.
And he didn't have that. He just has this overbearing aunt who is so worried about making sure that he doesn't get sick, that she puts him in this bubble, even though it's not a physical bubble, but it's a bubble around town. That whole house becomes a bubble. And another aspect is that I kept getting upset because I'm like, where is his dad? His dad could be here. He is 16 years old, and you spend maybe 2 months with him, and then you go back off to the sea. And I'm thinking to myself, how can the sea be more exciting than spending time with your son, learning about it? Because I don't even think – I think the dad knew he painted, but he didn't get a chance to appreciate just how talented Noah was when it came to painting. Because Lily, when she looked at the painting, a couple of paintings when they came together, she's just shocked, like, oh, my goodness, this is genius-level type of painting, the type where – people just stop awe and look at his work. So I really was upset with the dad because even though he doesn't have much to say in the story, It's the fact that he's not there and just how important it is for fathers to be present in a young boy's life. It's so important. So then we have a couple of other characters here, because Noah, his relationship is with his aunt. And so some of these things that his aunt says comes through to him. So he has the pastor and his wife and their two daughters come to visit them. What I really appreciate about this aspect of the story is that the pastor is depicted as doing, quote unquote, his job. He's supposed to be concerned about the sick and shut-in. And Noah and his aunt were sick and shut-in. And Noah didn't appreciate that aspect of what the pastor's job was, which is to visit people. But let's go and talk about one of the characters who doesn't have much to say, which is Leah. Leah is the pastor's daughter, but he never treats her as anything but his daughter. Let's talk about her really quickly, because she was a side character that really stood out to me. Tell us about Leah real quick.
Well, Leah is a very minor character in the story, as far as, because she, there's something obviously not right with her. At first, Noah doesn't really understand what the relationship is with the Reverend's two daughters. Like, they both seem very quiet and awkward and kind of like your, you know, like kind of like your typical sheltered church kids, you know. Like, they seem like they're just kind of, like, sheltered, but then he learns more about their situation and realizes even his assessment of the sisters is wrong. And one of the things is it has to do with Leah. Like, there's something wrong with her mentally, which really, in the book, even though I'm pretty subtle in the description, it really is, because before they understood what the term Asperger's meant, it really is that. Like, she's kind of in her own world. So I describe that, but they don't really know what it is. So you have this character who needs to be cared for, who is generally very quiet, but it also affects her older sister and who she becomes.
And the older sister, her name is Ruth. She's actually, because you're so inside of Noah's head, when things begin to change for him, you realize that the characters change. And I have to say this, Jackie, it was very effective how you did that, because I believe the same thing that Noah believed about the preacher. Like, he's just coming over here because he just wants to stare, or he's just coming over here because he has nothing else better to do. He was kind of bitter about their visit. And then as certain things happen in the story, he realizes, oh my goodness, he, out of everyone in this town, genuinely is concerned about my well-being. But I thought the same thing as Noah did. And sometimes when you read a book, you can go, oh, he doesn't know that he actually cares about him. But because I was so entrenched in Noah's way of thinking, I agreed with him. And then when that happened, you go, oh, he didn't have to come see him. And then when he starts to see the daughters at two separate people, like Leah is, like you said, something's wrong with her. She's very quiet, but Ruth is actually quite vivacious. Or not vivacious. She's outgoing and she's pleasant and she's very pretty. And he never quite noticed that before, because in all honesty, because of Lily's presence in his life, he opens his eyes to other people. Is that something that we need to recognize, that sometimes when people are in our lives, it's not just for us to be so focused on ourselves, but on the people around us?
Oh, definitely. The one thing I hit home with Noah on a couple instances was his misjudgment of people, like realizing that there is more to people than you think, like, you know, like taking the sisters, he originally sees them as one and the same, but as Ruth, who actually has her own transformative experience when she comes back, like she's becoming a young lady and discovering who she is and becoming more fashionable, he realizes that he had misjudged her, you know, realizing that why she was the way that she was before was because she was in a very difficult situation of always having to care for her sister and being kind of lonely in her own way. But he didn't see that, you know. And so through this, I really wanted Noah to kind of take, like, this general outlook on life and realize that not everything is as it appears, or people aren't always what you think they are. It's worth going deeper to find out who people really are and what they're about.
That's the uniqueness of a coming-of-age story like that. Yeah, and that's the uniqueness of a coming-of-age story, is the fact that You're not just falling in love. You are understanding that the world is bigger than you thought, and it's more nuanced than you thought. Another aspect that I like, too, is that he recognizes his friendship with Lily isn't just so they can be friends, but it's a lifeline to him. And me and you have talked about it offline about just how important people are to our sphere. Like, we like people. We get with people. We are, well, I am particularly, I'm really into people. I love being around people, and people get my blood boiling in a good way, not a bad way, like I'm mad or something. But I love the connection that people bring to each other. And Noah is seeing that, because as Lily comes into his life, she brings other people with her. She brings these people with her. And he's like, wow, there are so many things going on here. And that's the uniqueness of a coming-of-age story that really differs from other, in my opinion, other parts of different genres, is that transformation that happens, not necessarily through some traumatic event, but just understanding that the world doesn't revolve around you. Because for him, it did. It did revolve around him. He had his aunt, mm-hmm. he had his painting, he had his tutors, he had his view of people, and that was it. And then Lily comes in, she burst through, like he said, she burst through like sunlight. And he said, I didn't even know I was in darkness. And I think we all need people like that to bring us out of our own dark corners. What are your thoughts about that, Jackie?
Yeah, I think that we live in a world where people are very self-focused, and they really do only see everything through their lens, or they think everything is about them, or everybody in their life is there to serve them. And I think it is important to realize how we can be like a blessing to others, and how we can see others and encourage others, for sure. And I think that's really who Lily was, you know. Lily saw other people in that way and kind of was teaching that to Noah. But yeah, he definitely struggled with that in the beginning, and that is the fun of the coming-of-age story, is that you really get to explore growth of a character, because there is no time where a person grows much more than in that, like, late teens to the early 20s, you know, where you really discover who you are, who you want to be. And that's another thing that he experiences, is just realizing, like, who do I want to be? Because up until then, he kind of just idealized his father and just thought, well, maybe I'll do what my father did, but he starts to understand who he is and his gifts and also just how important relationships are in his life, something he never had. Even his relationship with his aunt grows. I mean, there's a lot of growth between their relationship as well.
And
he tries
like
to understand her better, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And at the time, you're like, oh, my gosh, she's such a whatever. But then as the novel goes, you go, okay, this is why she is like that. So that does become something that you learn throughout the story. Another aspect, too, is that as he begins to grow, he starts to question things about God. And I love how you subtly put this in here. And it was a very subtle thing. It's not preachy at all. But it comes through as a very big deal in his life. It's not that he didn't believe in God. He just never really gave God much thought, again, because he's very self-centered. But then there are several things that happen to him where he is, and I think it happens to everybody, there's a point where the question can only be answered by the presence of God. No one else can answer that question but him. Does that make sense, Jackie, when I say that?
I think I know what you're saying here. And it's, you know, like, there are some things that nobody can help you with. Like, only God can show you, like, who you are, what your purpose is. Nobody can do that for you. Only God can help give you the strength to overcome your weaknesses. You know, somebody may encourage you, but it's only God who can do that. And even Lily recognizes that. You know, she realizes her own limitations and it acknowledges that it's a God thing. And so, yeah, the faith thing, as a Christian, I can't help but for my faith to come out in my works. But I'm glad you didn't find it to be particularly preachy, because I felt like those things were natural to me to include. I didn't feel like I had to, you know, beat somebody over the head with the Bible or make a big, strong point. But he definitely has that growing understanding of who God is, and I'm really glad if that came across.
Another thing, too, is what I like about the book, the romantic element there, first love, blush, understandings. It didn't have, what I like that it had the the complications of young love, but it didn't have the angst that is really prevalent in a lot of young adult novels, which is one of the reasons why I can't read them. Like, oh my gosh, you guys are going back and forth for 5,000 pages about whether or not he likes me. And they're like, oh my gosh, stop it, please. There was one book, and I think I mentioned this recently, there was one book I saw, and I stared at it for a while because it's a, you know, romance or whatever, and it's 700 pages. And I said, what's happening? You know, what's happening in the book? You know, it's a romance, right? What are they talking about? And I read the first three chapters on the look inside feet, and nothing happened in three chapters. Nothing happened. I know there were words there, but nothing happened. And I was sitting there like, oh my gosh, you know how you sit there like, please stop, nothing is happening here. So
I don't
like the ink. Like, and when I tell you, I know there are words and there are names, something happened, but it was not enough to keep my interest to even buy the book, because it got all these great reviews, and I said, but how? But I do know, and I've talked about it with you, Jackie. I know I've gotten those critical reviews in my work, too. Like, how can anyone like this? I said, I understand, but it's not 700 pages. That's what I'm thinking. Not 700 pages. You did not have to go that far to find out if this book had anything happened to it. But
you didn't put them through it, huh?
No, I couldn't. Not 700 pages. So, yeah, but we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Jackie Jalene. And I want her to read an excerpt. She didn't know that till just now. So I want her to read an excerpt. So when you come back, we're going to hear a quick excerpt from At Ocean's Door. Again, exclusive here because the book has not released yet. So go ahead, stay tuned. We're going to hear an excerpt from At Ocean's Door. And you still have an opportunity to weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I am here with my good friend Jackie Jalene and her debut novel, At Ocean's Door. It will be available on February 2nd. We'll tell you how to get your copy in just a moment. But right now, I'm going to mute myself, Jackie, and have you introduce the excerpt that you're going to read from At Ocean's Door. Go ahead and set it up for us. I'll mute myself, and you go ahead and take it right from there.
Okay, so the excerpt I'm going to read is from chapter 1, and it's when Noah first meets Lily, or when he first sees her for the first time, not when they meet, but when he sees her. It was a sight he'd never forget. Noah was all of 16 now and figured she must be close to his age, perhaps a year younger, but no more. She let her soft brown curls fall past her fair shoulders, covered only by the ruffled straps of her lavender sundress. She was carrying a small white basket and gliding along the shore, stopping every so often to pick something up to place inside it. He wondered at what she was gathering and wished to ask, but was frozen with fear and fascination. Noah had seen few girls his age, aside from the Reverend Thomas's daughters, who were pale and joyless with upturned noses. He stared at them often, waiting for one to speak, but they rarely did. He had read about romance in books, but for the life of him could not understand the appeal when Ruth and Leah came to visit. Besides, they were not friends. They were doing the Lord's work by checking in on local folk, looking at Noah with pitying eyes, and leaving behind a less than appetizing fruit basket. Aunt Prissy was always polite during their occasional visits, but as soon as the Reverend, his wife, and two daughters left the house, she would turn with a sigh and murmur something to herself about sanctimonious, self-righteous saints and how they were only interested in finding new things to gossip about and shamelessly doing so in the name of the Lord. Noah thought to himself that the joke must be on them, since nothing new ever happened in Birchwood Cottage anyway. But this girl was quite different. Even from his vantage point, he could see the bright and sunny smile that adorned her round, flushed face. She was enjoying her simple task more than most people enjoy doing anything at all. And so he watched as she continued gathering until a voice called out to her from down the beach, a name he couldn't quite distinguish, that caused her to run back in the direction she came. Noah wistfully contemplated if he might ever see her again, or if she had been nothing more than an apparition. But 2 days later, as he sat on the terrace painting the cloudy horizon, he saw her dancing his way once again, and as before, he was infatuated by her blithe spirit.
That is an excerpt from At Ocean's Door, which will be available on February 2nd. And with that in mind, I want to tell our listeners how they can get their copy of At Ocean's Door.
So the book will be available on February 2nd, and it'll be available on Amazon, on Kindle, and on paperback. But you can visit my website. It's jackiejelene.com, JakiJelene.com. And you can go there for more information, or you can visit me on Facebook under the same name.
Now, you did start a new endeavor recently. Is that something you want to talk about?
Oh, sure. I started, it's really like a professional self-publishing company called Doorway Publishing, which is what At Ocean's Door is published under, and it just houses some independent authors who would like to be published in a more professional manner under a publishing company banner. So we just opened that, and so we have a few authors in there. So that's all a very new endeavor, and it's not like an open for submissions sort of thing, but it is something I'm kind of excited about because I'm hoping that somehow it will be a way to connect people within the writing industry together, because I'm not new to working in the publishing industry, and I've met so many amazing, amazingly gifted people who are believers like myself, who are passionate about their work, writing, or whatever they're doing in that. Some people are editors, some people are podcasters. You have the Untold Podcast, which is incredible, and, you know, there's just so many people that I see their gifts, and I just want to encourage them. So I'm hoping that more than just being a vanity press or something to promote myself or the other people in there, I hope it'll be a resource that will eventually be a blessing and a help, and also a promotional tool for others that are in the industry of people that I really respect and look up to, and give them a platform. So we'll see how it develops. It's still a very new venture, but I'm very excited about it.
And for those of you, you can go to Doorway Publishing. I think it's doorwaypublishing.com, correct?
Yes, that is exactly correct. Yes. Doorwaypublishing.com, yes. Or you can follow us on Facebook under the same name.
Now, you gave us your social media outlets, which I always ask right before the show ends, but go ahead and just give some encouraging words to our aspiring authors out there as we begin to end the show.
I guess the inspiring words that I saw something once, and it had to do with art, and it just always stuck with me, is this idea of finished, not perfect. That is something that I have carried with me, that if you're an aspiring anything, artist, musician, it doesn't matter, even if you're a computer, if you want to do web design or programming or anything, it's about finishing projects. Because there are a lot of people who are so incredibly talented that never see their talents through. They never do. They bury their talents. And it's getting to the end, even if it's not. Because it doesn't matter what you do now. You hope that in years to come, if you're waiting for it to be perfect, years later, you'll see all its flaws anyway. So there should be no need to reach perfection before you finish a project. Get those projects done and get them out and release them to the public, because people need to be blessed by art. Art is such an enriching part of life, and we need your talents.
I love that you said finished, not perfect. And that is something that we'll hope will resonate through some of our listeners out there. Jackie, thank you. Thank you once again for being with me on the show today. As you know, I thoroughly enjoyed the book, enjoy our friendship that we have offline as well. Can't wait to hear about the second book to this story, but we're not going to talk about that right now. There's a second book coming, and I can't wait to showcase you for that one. So, Jackie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much, Parker. It was such an honor to be on your show. It really was. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We were talking today to Jackie Jalene. You can find out more about her work by going online to JackieJalene.com, which is JakkiJalene, as well as her new venture, DoorwayPublishing.com, to find out what's that all about. Like she said, they're not accepting submissions, but she hopes to make it a resource for those of us within the industry to kind of work together, be a platform, and do so many different things. So can't wait to see how that grows and develops. Again, I love what she said, and I want to leave that with you, is finished, not perfect. The only one who is perfect is God, but the rest of us have to, we aspire to be like him. So he says, be holy for I am holy. And he's the one who makes us better in his will, his holiness. So we're not going to be perfect like him yet, but he constantly strives to make us better and better each day. So that's why we want to follow him. Because I remember there is that saying that says, God doesn't call the prepared. How's it go? No, I can't remember it. Jackie, if you're still there, how does that saying go? God calls the Jackie, you know which one I'm talking about.
You know, I'm familiar with this phrase, too, and I can't think of it either, so I'm no help.
And I hate that, because this is the inspirational part of the podcast. I can't think of how it goes. But anyway, but you know what? We'll just finish what you said, Jackie. Finished, not perfect. So to my listeners out there, thank you so much for joining me and Jackie on this special edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. And God bless.